John 14. Last week we was talking about walking with God. And the week before we was talking about don't quit on God. Don't stop. Everybody say don't stop. Keep walking with God. And this week we're going to do something a little bit different. Tie some of that in a little bit. Tie some of it in. John 14:10, where you run scripture, and then we're going to go back. I'm going to read it lengthy, but I just want to read that so I can get to it. He says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, don't speak of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the work." Say, he doeth the work. And Father God, I ask you to think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for the anointing, I ask for utterance, I ask for you to do what only you can do, in Jesus' name. Turn around, you don't have to get up and move. Just turn around and shake somebody's hand and let them know that you're glad to see them this morning. I want to help some people, though, with all seriousness. I don't know, I feel light this morning and giddy, but it's really a serious topic. Because what I'm learning is most of the body of Christ don't know how to walk by faith. And most preachers just preach the problem. And then they wonder why people can't get no breakthrough. If a person is not liked, and you up here talking about God gonna get your haters, it will make them shout, but it don't give them no real victory. That's just church jargon. Don't mean nothing. Earlier this week, I say this all the time, and I'm open for everybody. They don't have to come to this church. I don't try to pull nobody. You know what I mean? Wherever God got them, that's where he got them. But you're a servant of the King. You serve all people. And you know, a young lady in a horrific situation. And I think she got a good pastor. I don't know why she didn't talk to him or whatever the case may be. But I know what the issue is. I think I know. Is that I say this all the time. Even if you get a prophetic word from a person, you got to have somebody to help you walk it out. You ain't going to do that by faith. This is why preachers, this is why pastors are so important, because their job is to help you walk that word out. Some people, they are only a deliverers. They are only messengers. They, for whatever reason, they may not have the ability to help you walk the word out. And so you just pray with her and stand in faith with her and give her some faith things to do. Why? Because they just got to live by faith. What that mean? You see, it's just jargon. But it's loaded with so much power that oftentimes it gets reduced to just what you can get in a church service. But the reality of it is, unless you're sick or somebody writes you some massive check, your manifestation really don't happen in here. It really happened out there. So you got to have something when you leave, say, other than a shout. You got to have something other than a shout or a feel good. Even if you're believing for a relationship, you better have more in you, because you left with a rich deposit in your soul, but then you was confronted with reality when you got home and you realized you had changed, but they hadn't changed. Now you gotta apply faith. And we talk about it again, we sing about it, but the reality of it is that most people ain't living about it. They're not living by faith. They're not walking by faith. My daughter-in-law and I was talking, and I was sharing that a lot of times you'll see people not move because they're in fear, and they fear failing. And these people are great encouragers, Sister Keenan, but they are horrible doers. In essence, they'll encourage you to do something. They'll encourage you to do something that they not even do it. You get success, and they sitting on the sideline with no manifestation, no breakthrough, no nothing. It's like a person who preaches from up here. You can preach from up here, and you can tie the church up and whatever else. You can teach all kind of revelation, and then the same thing that people are working out there, you're not working from up here. Now, how you gonna keep moving like that through life, and eventually everybody gonna see that this is happening. This is happening for everybody, but the pastor. This happened for everybody in the church except for Sister Cantaloupe. Sister Cantaloupe can't get it. And what Sister Cantaloupe do? Sister Cantaloupe say, "I'm on a demonic attack." Demonic attacks don't stop the will of God. Nowhere in the Bible does it happen. I mean, it delayed Daniel's, but he kept on praying, and guess what it did? Showed right up. So we'll start explaining stuff away and acting like, oh, somehow this is God's will, but you hate it. I'm going to teach this anyway. How do you get from that point? I want to show you how Jesus did it. So simple. But it's not doable, because the only people who get results in this life are who? The only people who get manifestations in this life are who? So don't tell me what you're doing and ain't no manifestation coming, because if you was doing it, you'd have the manifestation. So when something happened for her and ain't happening for you, and she keep getting it and you get nothing, it is because she is a doer of the word, not a hearer. Hearers get excited. They don't get breakthroughs. And what you don't want to do is stay in the house of God for 30 or 40 years and you can't get what's in your spirit out. So how did Jesus do it? One of the ways, go to John 14, let's look at this thing. Because Jesus did something that we don't do. We talk the problem. We don't talk the end result. But wherever your words stop at, that's what manifests for you. What did he say? Jesus always talked the end result when he dealt with things. And then he'd walk away. Why? Because he knew it's done. If you done hurt, now watch, this is what I want. I got to clear this up, right? Because I don't want people to walk away thinking that walking by faith is some hocus pocus, like it's some game. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to give you a snippet, and then I ain't going to deal with it this week. I'm going to deal with it later. But you just can't walk around just saying what you want to say. You can't just walk around saying what you want to say for two reasons. Why? Because theoretically, the devil is a created being, but he is not created like God. You are. And I may get to it today. And because he is not a creative being and you are in God's image, and one of the ways that you are in God's image is you are eternal. You will never die. You will transition from this life. You will live in heaven or hell. You will never die. And the other thing that you like God in this regard is that you have this innate ability built in you called a speaking spirit, where you start running your mouth too much in a negative. That's what's going to overpower your life. That's why Jesus talks about idle words. They're non-productive words. They work against heaven, but it gives the enemy authorization to use your words, and then it show up, and you saying somehow like God did it, God then did it. You need to keep your mouth shut some. Especially, you don't want to be emotion-led. Look this way, please. Because some of you, the devil is kicking your hiney because you live in your emotions. And you respond to people off your emotions. And then you wonder why the relationship won't turn, because you won't change your mouth language. You always talk the negative. And so, and you always, and he, and the devil capitalizes on your speech, because Why does it show up? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks what it believes. If you just rambling, you don't believe it. But it's something about when you speaking something and you believe it and it's negative. Why did it show up? The devil ain't created. You allow him to influence your thinking, take hold of your words. You believe what you were saying, and then it showed up. But we're going to reverse some of that craziness today. I say we're going to reverse some of that craziness today. Now, he uses something. Let's look at this. He uses things, I like to call them, the Bible don't really say it, but you get the point, like a faith command. Everybody say faith command. Yeah. When Jesus said something, he knew it's going to happen. He's God, you understand? But he's using God's power, but he ain't operating in the earth as God. Does that make sense to you? He is the Son of God. He is using the power of God, but he is doing everything as a man. Healing people's eyes. Have everybody close their eyes. Pray over a fish dinner and some hush puppies. 5,000 people open their eyes and they got all this food. Mm-hmm. Walking on water. Did that happen? Because a lot of the stuff you got to settle that this ain't some story, because if you think it's just some story, that's your problem. Because he's doing this as a man endowed with the Spirit of God. Okay, so what happened? What's being proven when a person speaks in tongues all the time and they can't get nothing to happen in their life? First of all, the tongues may not be real, and two, they ain't tapping into the realm of the Spirit. They playing church. Don't look at nobody and say, we got to get out of playing church in our community. Because too many of our people ain't getting no breakthrough. And they tithing. And they leaping and running. And ain't nothing happening. Should it be okay if you challenge me on that? Yeah. Yeah, it's okay to challenge them. Because why ain't God moving? So everybody say sidebar. I need to tell somebody this, but I'm going to get back to my lesson. God been trying to move for you, but you won't let him. Because I shared this with my wife briefly. I didn't give it to all. Because you've given place to the devil. I'm gonna tell you how I know. Because you are call yourself praying, binding, speaking in tongues, pleading the blood, nothing happened. Do you know why? Look this way, please. Because that's not the devil behind your issues right now. You being chastised by the Lord. If it was the enemy, your binding and bleeding the blood should have been enough. But it ain't enough because God is on your case. I'm going to get back to some faith in a minute, but I'm going to help some people because you came in with your face twisted and your spirit all in knots. But you up here running around binding and bleeding and nothing, and your issue is God got an issue with you right now. God got an issue with you. And when God get up on you, ain't no intercessory prayer going to get up off him. He looking for some repentance, and he's looking for some humility in you. And I warn you, I plead with you, don't let your life be getting flushed down the toilet. Everything that God was building up is being stripped away from you. And you binding the devil, and God says, I'm trying to chasten you. I chasten those that I love. I'm trying to correct you. And you up here wasting your time, call yourself binding some devil, and you will not repent. Maybe that is my message. And then we run to the house of God and still will not listen to God. I'm telling you, if you want God to do something different in your life, because God ain't like your mom. Your mama, you know, my parents used to, they used to say stuff like this: I'm going to whoop you till I get tired. Anybody else? Your parents did it? Your parents was white? Because some of y'all blacker than me. I know my mom used to be like, I'm going to whoop you till I get. But God ain't like that. As soon as you learn and repent of what God's trying to do, it's over. Look this way, because I know I'm in your neighborhood. You want some cute little Mother's Day message. You excellent, you great, you beautiful, you pretty. Ain't got none of that. You can only preach it like 10 times. I mean, I done did it every year. Let me preach something else. So a faith command is when you give a directive to something in the natural that requires you to trust and believe God. Some of us are not in no good place. You need to be learning this. Even as some of these mothers, your family, you ain't in no good shape. You can turn around by faith, though. Some of our children ain't in no good shape. I know they're working on their testimony, but you want to have something in operation to give them a chance to live it out. Because the devil ain't playing in them streets. Don't be thinking that you made it, they're going to make it. Ain't no guarantee that they're going to make it. You want to get them out them streets quick. I say, just because you was out there 30 years and you say, I did my stuff and I made it in, that's no guarantee your child or your grandchild going to make it. Don't you be so foolish as to think that. You start believing God for salvation. You start going before the throne. You start writing their name. You should have a prayer room. Go in that prayer room and lift that name up before the Lord and call him. Because a person that don't pray cannot be a person of faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. You ain't heard nothing from God. How are you talking about you walking by faith? Ooh-wee. It requires you to know what you said is going to happen. Why? Because I've heard from the Father. No theatrics. Because just because people make you shout, this is what I've learned. I've been doing this a long time. Just because people make you shout don't mean they're hearing from God. They don't make them be done heard nothing. And they can be Hebrewing and Shebrewing and they can be doing all that stuff. Ain't nobody getting no breakthrough up in the bed. Ain't nobody. But as soon as God told me to start preaching, he said, this is what he told me. He said, I'm positioning your people for some incredible reversals and breakthroughs. Watch this. Get them built up. What is he talking about? Get them built up in faith. They got to be able to pull it in. It ain't automatic. The word of God ain't automatic. If it was, he wouldn't tell us to live by faith. Tell somebody, say, it's time to live by faith. Now, not this foolish stuff. You got to be done heard from God. Trusting in him completely, obeying his word, even when the circumstances are uncertain. Obeying him, even when the circumstances are not favorable. When I hear from God and God sends me, he sends you into an unfavorable looking situation, but you heard from God. So therefore, when he said continue to go that way, you don't go that way. Because you done heard from God. So a part of walking by faith is having the word first. Don't let the natural dictate the course. I'm teaching this real good. Don't let the natural dictate the course. Because, watch this, the devil is primarily, initially, when he's trying to get you out the will of God, Samaji, he's going to give you an easy course that don't require no faith. And people who ain't heard from God, they take, broad is the way, narrow is the path. They take the easy way because the difficulty will require them to believe God. The difficulty in what you're dealing with, that's why you should keep your mouth shut and stop talking to so many people. The course that God requires from you right now is just to, you've heard from me, do it that way. Look at your neighbor and say, I can tell you've heard from the Lord. Stop crying in my lap. What does that mean? This why, listen, look, brothers. This why, as a man, you should never let another woman crown your shoulder. Because those tears and them emotions are going to influence your behavior. Ooh-wee. The reason why you don't let somebody who's heard from the Lord cry in your lap, the devil will try and start trying to convince you to convince them that there's some other way because you'll get in their emotions with them. So I'm not going to let you cry in my lap. Keep pushing. Tell somebody, say, I'm not going to let you cry in my lap. You've heard from the Lord. Keep pushing. Now let me get to John 10. I done said all that. That's my introduction. I'm going to pull this off. What gives your words divine power? Hearing from God. I teach if a person don't have a prayer life and they born again, you are under a serious, if you don't have no desire to pray, you're under a serious demonic attack. Because that's your lifeline is being able to talk to God and hear from God. The exchange of dialogue, earthly dialogue for spiritual impartation. And so you got them planes flying around out there in Newark for 90 seconds and can't communicate with the tower. And they shutting them down now because in 90 seconds, 300 people can be dead. In 90 days, the devil can wreck your life if you ain't talking to God. In 90 seconds, the devil can wreck your marriage if you ain't talking because you be done said something or did something or found yourself in some type of situation where you can't recover from that. You ain't got no time. You already under a demonic attack if you don't desire to pray. But we bind that filthy, nasty devil, that spirit, and that your communication lines with heaven would be open. Not this play stuff in Jesus' name. Because you can run your life with your own thoughts and it'll look just like you running it. Or you can let God run it. I think I'm going to let God run my life. How about you? How about you? I think I'm going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to do it the way he tell me to do it. I don't care if people like it or not. See, let's keep going. In John 11, I'm going to read that first. He's talking, Jesus is talking. And he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me? He's talking, I think he was talking to Philip, to show him you. He says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? This is why I compel the people who listen and preach and come here. The minute that you believe that I'm not hearing from God, you got to break ranks. You got to find somebody that is. Because it can mess your whole life up. When a person don't believe in their preacher, how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach unless God send him? And then he ain't got no message unless God give him a message. Ain't no, it's your turn junk. Ain't no, what is that? You don't get to preach because it's just your turn. Have you heard from God? And so what's happening here is he says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? And then he says this. He says, the words I speak are not my own. Whose words are they? They from the Father, but my Father who lives in me is doing this work. So what gives divine power to words? Not speaking of your own. Say that, not speaking of your own. If you had to write down points and stuff, I'd tell you that ain't my point, but I'm going to give you a whole bunch of points for it. So what? Say, not speaking of your own. You speak what the Father is saying to you. Watch this, because what's in your spirit should bear witness with the word of God. So don't rattle off no dream to me if you can't find it in the scriptures. Or at least connect it to the word of God. Because what will happen is you'll be talking out your spirit. And you know that a lot of that is going on in the body of Christ right now. People talking out their own spirit. They talking what they want to happen, and they ain't even seeing if it was part of God's plan or not. Does it bear witness? Say, it's not speaking of your own. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. He says, or at least believe the works you've seen me do. See, a lot of time, I've been through my whole life where I've dealt with doubters. They don't influence me at all. Doubters don't influence me. Doubters reveal that you weren't on my team. Now, if I'm hearing from God and they doubters, that would make them not be on his team either. So doubters don't influence my decisions, or it doesn't compel me to do other than what God has said. Because the minute that you start doing the work, the proof should silence the critics. That's why Jesus says, if nothing else, do believe the works that I'm doing. If you don't like every message, believe the works that's happening. Are people getting saved around here? Yeah. Are people coming to the altar around here? Yeah. At least believe the works. Not because somebody got some big building or some whatever out there. Well, who cares about that junk? You ain't taking none of them brick and mortars to heaven, but them souls that you get saved, they're going to meet you there. Say amen to this. He said, I'm telling you the truth. I wish y'all could fix that. I really do. It's like really bothering me. They're working on it. Thank you, co-pastor. Hurry up. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same work I have done, and then greater works than these. Who he talking to? Is it happening? And if not, why not? Should we be questioning this? Should we be questioning this? We should be questioning this. He just said, because I'm going to the Father. And then he says this, you can ask anything in my name. What does he say? I'm going to do it. Why? Because you've heard from the Father. If you ain't heard from him, what is all this toil about? Tell somebody, be still and know he's God. If you ain't heard from God, why are you talking about leaving that job? Why are you talking about divorce? Have you heard from God? Why are you buying that house? Because somebody else got a bad house? Be still and know he's God. I'm preaching this real good, whether you want to say amen or not. What is all that toil about? If you ain't heard nothing from God, why don't you just sit down and rest until you have? Before you mess your little life up. Shall be still and know he's God. But you're so used to being in charge. Man, my message was supposed to flow totally different than this. It was supposed to go totally different than this. And I'm trying, but it won't let me. Because he's talking to some people up in here. What is all this toil that he's seeing? Huh? And you ain't heard from him. You should sit down and rest until you get some instructions. You should hush until you get some instructions. Because you're about to mess your, I don't know what, you're about to mess your little life up. Because you not heard from God. And hearing from your mama ain't the same thing as hearing from God. My. He says, you ask me for anything in my name, I'm going to do it. Healing, is that God? Is being delivered from God? Do you know when you need to be delivered? If you don't know when you need to be delivered, you're worse than the man at Gennesaret. He had a lame and a Jesus, and when Jesus got off that ship and started walking toward him, he came and fell down at Jesus' feet because he was demonic, he was demonically possessed, but he wasn't out of his mind. He knew when he needed to be delivered. Do you know when you need to be delivered? Miracles, preaching, leading people to Christ. It did not stop because Jesus ascended. Should people still be getting healed? 2 weeks after doing this, Mother Priscilla, Happy Mother's Day, Mother, was in the hospital. She's in ICU. He done told you that he's trying to work on something. Now she out of ICU. She in a regular room. Watch this. Working her way back this way. Why? Because she listens every Sunday from a hospital room. Because miracles should not stop because Jesus ascended to heaven, but they can be blocked. God wants you healed. God wants you delivered. He's empowered us. That's the point of the Holy Spirit coming, is to empower you. So I'm empowered. Not with a ghost, but the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of power, the one that enables you, the one that helps you, the one that strengthens you, that's the one you got in you, and he's been given to you that you can boldly come before God, return the word that he gave to you back to him, and then God causes what needs to be done, this earth called manifestation. What am I saying? God said it's time to align your mind and your faith and your spirit. Align your mind, your faith, in your spirit. Some people keep Jesus on their mind, I guess, but they don't want to walk by faith. They just think everything gonna happen. Who gets results in this dimension? Doers. If you ain't no doer, if you ain't putting the work in, what are you looking for? It was interesting when I was a young guy, young preacher in church, people was like, oh, I just go and check. I've heard preachers say, I just go and check the mailbox sometime. And I got this check. Ooh, da 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 da, hunda. Them people owed you that money. You overpaid. Now, you could have put faith out there for God to give it back to you at the right time, but don't be acting like that. They owed it to you, and then God forced them to get. That lines up better with just a check falling out the sky. I'll make your enemies give you back what they stole from you 7 times. That lines up better than somebody said, I'm just believing God for a check. You ain't worked in 25 years. What you believing for a check for? You need to be believing for a J-O-B or a Job, whatever you want to call it. Align your minds, your faith, and your spirit to believe in things according to the example provided by Jesus. What was the example? Jesus always spoke the end. He always spoke the end result. Now, this revelation for some of you, it's easy, it's simple to me, but you don't say what you don't want to see. My back is killing you. If I was you, I wouldn't say that. You may not think it's doing nothing today, but you could be losing years off your life. I feel like I'm losing my mind. If I was you, I wouldn't say that. Look back through your lineage, and then you go back and watch how they was talking the same way. Uh-huh. I ain't never got no money. If I wasn't you, I would not talk like that. Because you're enabling this spirit of poverty to keep on taking your stuff. Child, I'm always tired. I wouldn't say that because you know you're too young to be laying around the house. You got to get up and go to work. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't shout that. I will not say what I don't want to see. I'm not happy. You shouldn't be saying that. Amen, oh my. You shouldn't be talking about it. I'm not happy right now. Because you're doing something, whether you think you're doing something or not. You got to get your vocabulary lined up with the Spirit of God. You serve the can-do God. So if you're in a bad dilemma, you start talking about, if I can't do it, God can do it. If I'm at my wit's end, God ain't never exhausted with his measures. He can still bring it to pass. But whatever it is, I'm going to believe that the can-do God will come through for me and help me. But I don't never pronounce negative over me. Try not to speak no negative over nobody else. You understand? But the reality of it is that you got to be conscious of how he did say, speak the end. Go to John 11. Quoting scripture is not the same thing as having confidence in the word. Your memory just good. It don't mean you believe what you're saying. Ooh-wee. Quoting scripture does not mean you believe or that you have any confidence in the word of God. How is confidence in the word of God determined? Action. Some of y'all should be writing this down. I promise I ain't going to explain it to you afterwards. It'll be recorded, though. But the only way you prove that you have a living faith, a lot of people got dead faith. Dead. The only way that you prove that you have confidence, Brother King, in the word of God is through action. Faith without works is? Faith without works is? The only way, sis, you can prove that you believe and that you got confidence. Do you believe the word of God? Yeah. Do you believe God? Yeah. I mean, because that's a phrase in church. Do you believe God? Yeah, I believe God. No action. Ooh-wee. If it ain't no action, you don't have confidence in it. Do you know why you didn't check the chair to see if it was going to hold you? You had confidence in it. No, you walked your buttocks in right on, came down the aisle, sat down in the chair, and you didn't even think about it because you have confidence in it. And that's what God is saying to you. I want you to come right in here, and I want you to sit down on my lap and have confidence in me. Have confidence in the I am the can-do God, that nothing in this earth is impossible. What if the doctor gave you bad diagnosis? That's not impossible for God. What if you've been dealing with it for a very long time? Does that mean that God can't do it? That ain't got nothing to do with God. God can still do it. What if some anointed man or woman laid their hands on you and it did not happen? Does that mean that it's not will of God? No. That just means that God wasn't going to use them. And a lot of y'all are letting go of God's divine ability to help you because somebody that you thought was anointed, grease you up, and then the results didn't come just because they couldn't get it done. Say, that don't mean that God can't get it done. But you got to have some action. John 11, 14. I'm not going to, I don't want y'all to miss your little, can you take a few minutes? Or I know y'all's trying to get your little restaurants. You should be able to get in there because our Caucasian brother go to church early. So he ain't fighting with nobody but us. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to get out of here. Then I'm going to pick back up next week. Can you come back? A big part of having confidence in the word of God is action and knowing that God will do it. When you know God will do it, brother, you know what you do? And the first thing you start doing is talking like God. You start talking to him. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany. He had his sisters, Mary, Martha. This is John 11, 14. He says, this is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet, washed his feet with his hair, She had a brother, Lazarus, and Lazarus was sick. The two sisters, verse number 3, goes, sends a messenger to Jesus and tell him that his friend Lazarus is sick. Jesus heard what they said, and then Jesus, in turn, gives a messenger to give to Mary and Martha. The messenger, Christ, gives a messenger to the messenger to give to his sisters that Lazarus' sickness is not unto death, that he not going to die. Now, I'm going to show you the difference how most people handle it in comparison to how most of you, tell your neighbor, say, you should wake up because you need this. Because you already told me what you're going through. I know what you're going through because you told me. You should wake up because you told me. I'm going to show you how most people handle it in comparison to how they should handle it. Right? The messenger sends a message through the messenger to the people with the problem. And watch what they do. Mary and Martha low-key don't even believe it. They low-key don't even believe it. Because he says, Lazarus, sickness is not to death. Your situation ain't unto death either if you open up your faith right now. He says, no, it happened for the glory of God. This is the extenuating circumstances. He says, it happened for the glory of God that the Son of God will receive glory from this. The Son of God, who is functioning as a man, will receive glory. I thought we don't receive glory. Initially, that's the only way God get it back. You have to receive it. You only get in problem when you hold it and you don't give glory back to God. Somebody got to capture it and give it back to him. So watch this. He says, no, it happened at the glory of God. So Lazarus is, in fact, he is dying. Jesus ain't trying to just call himself, you know, blind faith or something like that. No, Lazarus is dying. You may be in a situation where it seemed like it's dying. It may not be physical, but you looking at it deteriorate and you know it's just a matter of time to where it's over. But say, God ain't touched it yet. And the sickness was unto death. And so when you go on down, why is Jesus talking like this? Because when you go to like 1 Kings, I think 18, don't go there, it's there. He done seen his father do this in the Old Testament. He done read scriptures where he's seen this happen before. So he already has confidence in the Father that this is not impossible for a dead man. Even if he dies, he ain't dead if God gets involved. He already has this in him already because he's seen it. But these people ain't never seen no resurrection of the dead. Jesus is an eternal God. He was, before the beginning began, Jesus already existed. And when you go from Genesis, you find him walking through every single book. So when you get to Kings and he see this man get up out the grave, it is all because of the power of God. So he ain't tripping because God, he's already been exposed to the resurrection. But Mary and Martha has not been exposed to things that are dead. In their mind, when something is dead, it's dead. But what God is telling you, just because it's dead, it's not dead. 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 God has not handled it yet. And if God handles it, he is the giver of life. He says, I'm not the God of the dead, but the living. I'm the God of the living, not the dead. When God touch it, it don't matter. If you want to keep it dead, you keep it away from God. Because the minute God touch it, it's not dead no more. It's a living thing. And that's what's happening in some of you right now. God going to touch it. It's going to live again. Because your walk is dead, but God going to touch it and you're going to get your fire back. You just going through the motions because you don't want people to know that you've been saved all these years and you're not in church. But you here now. Allow God to touch your dead faith and get yourself back in the game. You got too much to do for the Lord to be on the sideline whining and crying and murmuring and complaining. No, let God touch it. And when God touch it, it'll live again. Tell somebody else, it's going to live again. It's going to live. So we spend too much time, watch this, talking about how it is. Woo-wee. We spend too much time talking about how it is. And then the devil done touched our culture with this dumb phraseology, talking about, I'm just going to be real with it. You are real foolish by not watching your mouth. You silly because you don't have no confidence that all that I done said before this, that you don't believe that it's true. I'm going to keep it real. You're going to keep it real silly by not watching what you're saying. Because you don't have no confidence in the word when the word say you are created in his image. You don't get to keep talking about your past if you don't want to keep revisiting it. It's like Groundhog Day. The more you talk about it, the more you give life to it. Why don't you just let bygones be bygones? Why don't you just move and press towards the mark? Press through your mess. Press through your test. Press to be the best. But don't keep talking about all this stuff that's done, supposed to be behind you. If you don't want to see it, don't talk about it. Tell somebody, if you don't want to see it like that, stop talking like that. We spend too much time talking about how it is opposed to how we want it to be. Way before y'all got here and was laying hands on chairs, I was laying hands on chairs. And then you showed up. Way before we had two nickels to rub together, as far as a ministry concerned, we was calling resources in and sowing into places with money that we could have been spending in-house. And then God started funding it. Now he funded it. We didn't put something, say, put something in action, put something in action. Then God started funding it. And it's about having confidence in the word of God that you start doing something. But I told them when I had them shin problems and my shins was being ripped and the muscle was being ripped. No, the person gave me the word of knowledge. They didn't even put their hand on me, but it was up to me to get up in the morning and get out there and see if my legs actually work. I got to, and I ain't have not one problem ever after that happened. You got to get up and do something. You got to test it out. If your back hurting and you believe for healing, when God tell you that he healed, get up and bend over and touch your toes. Wiggle your hips. Do something to figure out if this thing working. And then if it don't work, it ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. It's between you and God. Now, I'm going to push you out the way, preacher, because the veil has been rent, and I got a direct passageway to the Father. And if you couldn't get it done, I'm going to go to God by myself. But no weapon formed against me going to prosper. And I'm not going to let the devil keep getting victories in my life because you were supposed to be the one that could help me and you couldn't do nothing. So I'm going to bypass you and I'm going to connect myself to the Father myself. I'm going to bypass you. Ask your neighbor, say, who are you? You ain't God, that's for sure. So, let's just get out of here. Come on. We got to get out of here. I'll finish next week. God trying to do something in your life. People of faith, walk by faith. Believe is your responsibility. Your job is to believe. Believe. Believers don't whine. Believers don't soak. Believers don't pout. Believers don't allow depression to overtake them. Believers don't allow natural circumstances to affect them. Believers don't stop because somebody closed the door in my face. No, God will cut a way out of no way to make a way to ensure that you got a way. But just because you don't see what God got in me, it don't mean that God ain't put it in me. It just means that I'm looking in the wrong direction. So therefore, thank you. I'm going over here and see what the Lord got over here. But as for me, I'm going to follow the Lord all the days of my life. Whether somebody go with me or not without me, I'm going to press towards God. Tell somebody, I'm going to press toward the Lord. I don't care who doubting me. I don't care if I'm in unfavorable circumstances. I don't care if the devil is pushing up against me. I'm going to push back. I'm going to push back. I'm going to push back. But I'm not going to let him just do what he wants to. And if you will stand your ground, God will ensure that you push the devil over, that you knock the devil over, that you're able to step on the devil's head, that you step on the devil's head, but you don't let him just do whatever he wants to. No, no. No, no. And I'm not just going to posture with my words. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to do it the way the Lord has called me to do it. I'm going to go forward no matter what. I'm going to speak my end the way I want to see it. Don't talk it like it is. Talk it like you want to see it. Don't speak over your family the way it is. Talk it like you want to see it. Don't talk over your money the way it is. Talk it like you want to see it. Don't speak negative over your body. Never agree with the pain, even when you notice it. I'm going to talk it like I see it. For the Lord has come to heal me and deliver me from all my sins and diseases. And I'm going to say it till I see it. I'm going to call it till it comes. But whatever I do, my words belong to the Lord. How about you? My words belong to the Lord. My mouth belongs to the Lord. My spirit belongs to the Lord. How about you? How about you? But I'm not going to give the devil authorization to use words against me. No, no, honey. I'm going to speak and I'm going to decree and declare the things of the living God over my life. Shout, I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm prosperous. I'm anointed by God. I'm called by God. I'm favored by the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My family is strong. My marriage is strong. My children are saved. My husband is saved. My wife is saved. Hallelujah. I'm only going to decree the report of the Lord over my life, but I will not declare sickness over my body. I will not claim mental illness or anything else. His report says I am healed. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am free. His report says what? Victory. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am free. His report says what? Victory. No, victory is yours. Somebody ought to praise the Lord up in this place. Victory is yours. You're not a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Victory is yours. You're not a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Victory is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. You got about 30 seconds if we got to move for real. Hallelujah. She's good. Leave her alone. She ain't going to break nothing. Come on, clap those hands. You should go and get it out of you too. You should get it out of you. Praise him till you get your peace. Praise him till you get your joy back. Praise him till the doubt is gone. When doubt is in your mind, you can shout the doubt out. You're in a place where you're not believing the Lord, shout the doubt out. Shout, my end is good. Tell somebody, my end is good. And your end is going to be good too. God, I believe, is trying to release incredible favor in the earth. Some of us have been down so long that we think we belong there, and God is trying to send some favor to his people. Put them in favorable conditions. Say this real loud. Say, what's permitted to happen to others is not permitted to happen to me. God has favored me. Say, what's permitted to happen to others is not permitted to happen to me. God has favored me. And I'm going to tell you, when God favors you, that's the game changer. When God favors you, that's the game changer. Everything around you could be wrong, but you'd be standing in right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we lift up our hands to you today, let us believe the report of the Lord. Not only are we to be careful of what we say, but how we think. For our thoughts become our words and our words become our actions. But Father, we thank you right now as we walk by faith. Live, whatever your situation is, God is saying, just put it up towards the heavens. The doubt crept in because you allowed the enemy to keep your delay going too long. That's how the doubt got in. But you heard God right the first time. But you got to pull it in. And Father, right now, as we lift up our hands, we're pulling it in. Everything that you've released from the heavenlies and put in our hearts, we come in agreement with it now. We line up our hearts. We line up our minds and our spirit, our faith, with the will of God. Let there be quick, speedy manifestations in the lives of the people of God. Father, some of them need a turnaround today. They can't go another month or two. They can't go another year, God. Their faith is teeter-tottering. I ask you right now, God, to release from heaven. And as they would go forward in faith, they would see it quickly, not many days hence. I rebuke every devourer. I rebuke every destiny killer over from your life, that you are who God called you to be, that you are what he's anointed you to be. And Father God, clear the path that gifts will make room for your people, that they can serve you the way that they have it in their hearts. And Father God, we give you all the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Give God one quick praise real quick.